This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 38.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about the art of hustle. And by that, I mean how you promote your business or brand without resorting to slimy, spammy tactics. But before we do, I just wanted to mention something that I'm doing at the moment that you might be interested in. See what I did there? And that's my Facebook group. Inspired by my interview with Jill Stanton in episode 33, I've really been putting some work into building or revamping my Facebook group. And I have to say, even in the last few days, I've only been doing it, I think it's about 4 or 5 days, I've already had 100 new members, and I'm just so inspired by the really interesting and inspiring businesses and brands that have joined and are sharing ideas and tips and support. And I'm in there every day answering members' questions. So if you're looking to join a free group where you can get advice and support on PR, but also marketing and social media, basically anything to do with promoting your business, then do come along and join us. It's turning into a really nice group. I can just kind of feel that already. It's just such a great atmosphere. So if you want to come and join us, the URL, it's rather long, is facebook.com/groups/soulfulprcommunity. I'll link to that in the show notes. So now on with the main part of the show. At least 3 times a week, I can guarantee that somebody will say to me something like this. You're such a hustler. Oh, well, you're always hustling, so that's why these opportunities come to you. And I find it really interesting because when I think of hustling or think of hustlers, I tend to think about spammy, slimy salespeople, pushy people, and I've never really considered myself to be like that. However, I guess I am a bit of a hustler because for the last 15 years, I've been self-employed in one form or another, first off as a freelance journalist for many years, and then in more recent years, doing lots of coaching and training and consultancy. And I've never, ever had a time, touch wood, where I've been short of work. In fact, generally, I find that I'm often getting more work offers than I can actually respond to in a day or a week. And I'm increasingly turning things away. So I got to thinking about this hustling thing and thinking, well, I obviously am a hustler, but I wonder what it is that I do. What are the kind of activities that I'm doing all the time, which means that these kind of opportunities are coming to me? So I've tried to think about what they are and distill it down so that I can share it with you in 5 easy points. Now, that's not to say that I've got any of this stuff perfect at all, but I've just reflected on it and I thought it would be useful to share with you some of the things that I do almost without thinking, which are almost certainly hustling and help my business in just so many ways. So first off, I think the first thing is, it's all about showing, not telling. So when I sat down and started to think about this hustling business, I thought, well, what is the main thing that I do? And I think what I try and do is to show people what I know and to show people the skills that I have rather than tell them. And I think when we come across salesy, spammy people, hustly kind of characters that we don't like, it's because they're trying to sell to us too much. They're trying to push things on us that maybe we don't want. So I think almost without thinking of it, I've just always tried to kind of show people my expertise rather than tell them. So that really is probably, if you take away one thing from this episode, I think it would be that. But the first thing that I think I have always tried to do as a self-employed person for the last 15 years, in fact, is to be a people person and to show people that I care. So when I meet people, I think because I'm genuinely nosy and journalists generally are, I try to make genuine connections with them. I ask them about their family, their friends, what they do. Actually, to the point where sometimes I think people might think I'm a little bit odd because I'm asking them so many questions about themselves. But I'm really interested in building like real relationships with people. And personally, with my journalist hat on, I found it nothing was more of a turn off than when I went to a meeting with PR people and they weren't interested in just getting to know me as a person. And I would sit there and it would just feel like a verbal assault with these PR people trying to pitch ideas to me and tell me how brilliant their company was. And really what I wanted to do was sit down and have a bit of a chat with them and try and build a relationship, because At the end of the day, as Chris Ducker, one of my favorite podcasters and bloggers, says, people like to do business with people. And if people don't like you, if they feel that you're pushing, you're just trying to ram your client, your product down their throat, it's just a huge turnoff. So show you care by just trying to make genuine connections with people. And I really feel if people think you're just talking to them because of the people that you can introduce them to or what you can do for them, it really is such a massive turnoff. The other thing I think is really important to do is to show people that you appreciate them. Now, this is probably to do with the way that my mum brought me up to buy people presents for everything. And again, it's something I've kind of almost done without thinking. But I send biscuits to my clients every Christmas. And if you're listening, you may well be one of those people who's received one of my boxes of biscuits. But I always do that I make a list of clients every Christmas. At the ones that I've worked with, it's usually a particular sort of financial amount, and we'll send them all a Christmas card and some biscuits, and it feels like I want to appreciate them because they've given me this business and I've worked with them and generally I've enjoyed it. I send flowers to clients who refer me other clients. I've always, as a freelance writer, always sent my editor chocolates at Christmas, or my sort of favourite editors, the ones that I worked with the most. I recently was in The Guardian and I left some chocolates for one of the admin support staff who helped me out big time because there'd been a mess up with one of my payments and they actually owed me rather a lot of money, and she spotted it and sorted it out for me really quickly. So I left her some chocolates. And I had another client, just trying to think now, where her grandmother had died. And so when I went to my next meeting with her, I was doing some coaching with her, I just took her along some flowers. And they're the kind of things, I guess it's just the way that I've been brought up. But I like to think it's those kind of things that make a real difference, that you're just kind of trying to build a personal relationship. And I find most of the clients I work with, particularly my coaching clients, I really like them. And I like, you know, I want to be their, you know, I would want to be their friend. I would like to spend time with them anyway. And I think, although you've always got to be careful about kind of, you know, having boundaries with your work and your life, actually, isn't that what we all want, is to work with people that actually we'd love to be friends with because we genuinely like their company and we like to work with them. So the second thing I would say is to be helpful. And again, this is showing, not telling. So I got an email from somebody last week, another journalist, who said, I've just started doing a similar line of work to you and I read one of your articles in The Guardian. I just wondered if you could give me some tips on starting a similar business. That's quite an interesting thing to do, is actually to email somebody with a similar business and saying, tell me all your secrets. Tell me what you do. But anyway, and I thought, well, what can I say to her that's not going to take me half an hour to reply? So I just emailed back and said, the one thing that's made a real difference to me in my business is by sharing helpful content through my blog. So I've had my blog now, I think, about 3 or 4 years, and just generally shared useful how-to content that I think will help people. If people never buy one of my paid programs or take part in my coaching programs, then that's absolutely fine. But I'm really happy to share useful information about getting press coverage and marketing and writing on my blog. And my sort of philosophy is that people may not have a need right now for my training or my support or my products or services, but they may well have a need down the line. And hopefully if I share that free content, they'll think of me. I also make a point of being part of some Facebook groups and forums and kind of popping in and dishing out advice there. And again, the idea is you give people a bit of free advice, and then when they do have a need or they do have a budget, then hopefully they'll think of you and come for your paid services. And that's worked for me time and time again. And in one particular Facebook group that I belong to, I actually made a point of giving some quite specific advice to people who I knew were the kind of people that would go and put it into action and get results, which is exactly what they did. So then they came back to the group and said, oh my God, Janet gave me this advice and I've got coverage in this newspaper. In one case, it was The Guardian. In the other case, it was coverage in local newspapers and radio. They were really chuffed with it. They told everybody about it. And obviously that's great for me because it's showing what I can do. It's not me telling people. So be helpful is really, really important. The other thing that's really, really worked for me, and I guess my mum's getting lots of mentions in this episode, but it's something that she's always kind of drummed into me, but is to be nice to people on the way up. Now, I'm acutely aware of this, having worked in newspapers and magazines for the last 15 years. I think a lot of this sort of thing doesn't go on. So what I watched when I first became a freelance journalist back in, I think it was just the year 2000 or just before, One thing I noticed straight away is how snooty and sniffy some of the editors that I was working for were. I'd pitch an idea, if it wasn't quite right, they'd send some kind of horrible curt reply back. I had some really kind of crushing put downs in my first few years of journalism. And I remember really vowing that I would never, ever treat anybody like that, because it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter if somebody's idea isn't great. It doesn't matter if it's not for you. It doesn't matter if they make a mess of the piece that they've submitted. You at least owe them sort of basic courtesy. But I could see that journalists were treating me, in some cases, a bit like, you know, something nasty on the bottom of their shoe. And I vowed then that I would never, ever treat anybody like that. And as an editor, I like to think I haven't ever been like that to anybody. What's really interesting, though, is that I made a point of being nice to people on my way up. And, you know, I got more and more experienced. And gradually, I wasn't just a freelance writer. I became a freelance editor. I started to cover for editors on national newspapers. I won some awards for my work. And what happened as I was doing that, I started to notice that some of those editors that had been a bit mean and a bit curt and treated me sometimes and my friends like we were something nasty on the bottom of their shoe, they started to come down. They got made redundant and they went freelance, and suddenly they were in the same pond as me, and they were asking me things like, oh, I'm not sure how to pitch to an editor, or oh, how does it work with copyright, or can you help me understand how I get paid? And suddenly these people who had been, you know, really quite mean were suddenly kind of asking for my advice. And, you know, it's hard in that situation because you want to tell them where to get off, but I've, you know, resisted doing that. But I guess there's probably a little bit of satisfaction in watching those people who were so mean come back down again. And I think, you know, I like to think that I have always been courteous and polite to people who, writers that I've worked with, but also other support staff. In newspapers, you often get the problem where you'll get the editorial staff who will, there'll be a kind of a bit of a rivalry between them and the commercial staff, so the people who sell the ads and do the kind of advertorial type stuff. And there's almost a bit of a hierarchy going on. I always made a point of not kind of getting involved in any of that. And as a result, because I always built really strong relationships with the people in the commercial side who've then gone on to get bigger and better jobs and to start up their own consultancies, I've had loads of work opportunities because I didn't kind of buy into that whole hierarchy, editorial, you know, journalists and writers are better than people who sell ads and that kind of thing. And as a result, I've made some great relationships, particularly with people I met at The Guardian, that have led to future work for me. So that's absolutely great. And I like to think also, I've talked about this before on the show, but there is a kind of divide between journalists and PR, and there's often tension. So a lot of journalists will say, oh, PR people are annoying and blah, blah, blah. And I totally get that. You know, I've been on the receiving end of terrible pitches, of people phoning up with and hassling me and being really rude. But I like to think I've never been rude to somebody who's a PR. I really hope that's not the case, because again, I just had this sense of like, who knows what the future holds? Who knows where I'm going to be working? Who knows what my career is going to look like in 10 years? These are people just like me, just trying to get on and do a job. So I'm going to be polite and courteous. And again, I think that's something that's really stood me in good stead, because many of those PR people that I've dealt with have later come to me and said, oh, we'd like somebody to come in, deliver some media training, or we need some writing training, or we would like some help, you know, we'd like some help in understanding how to pitch a journalist. Could you come in and run a workshop for us? So just having that kind of almost internal rule that to be respectful towards everybody and to be nice to people on the way up is something that's really stood me in good stead. And when I think about this, I think about that Maya Angelou quote about people will forget what you said, but they won't forget that you, the way that you made them feel. And that's always been something that's been forefront of my mind. And I know that's been some editors in particular that I've worked with that have made me feel very small and made me feel very insignificant. And, you know, I've always held it in my head that I don't want other people to feel like that. The other thing is you need to be everywhere. Now, you may have heard of Pat Flynn, who is a very successful podcaster and businessman and blogger, and his podcast is website is the Smart Passive Income blog. And he often talks about this concept of just being everywhere, and you need to be everywhere. And I really think that's a lot of it. That's really what lots of this is about. It's about just keep popping up everywhere, telling people what you do. Now, it's not about popping up in forums and in Facebook groups and telling people about your program and trying to sell it to them. I had a friend of mine, Amanda Cook, who runs the fantastic Wellpreneur podcast, or hosts it, I should say. She has said to me a few times, oh, I just love the way you just pop up in Facebook groups and you just tell people about what you've been doing, and you do it in a way that's not salesy. You just kind of say, hey, look, I've been doing this, and I'm really pleased with the way this has gone. And particularly when I was launching my podcast as well, like, you know, I went to some of my favorite Facebook groups and said, look, I'm really excited about this. I've set out to publish a podcast and get it out within 30 days. And that's exactly what I did. And I'd love it if you had a listen and tell me what you think. And I basically just kind of told people about it. No kind of selliness, but just, look, here it is. I'm really proud of this. And I think that's the key. It's that, say, for example, you have a program or a product to sell. Instead of going in and saying, hey, do you want to buy my course? It's about kind of going in and saying, look, I've been working on this project. I'm really happy about it. You might even want to get real and be honest and say, look, these are some of the challenges I've had with it. You know, this has taken me 3 goes, or this is my 3rd program that I've launched. The first 2 were a complete flop, but this one's going brilliantly. So it's about being real, and it's about kind of almost telling people what you're up to rather than kind of selling to them. The other thing which comes under the Be Everywhere umbrella is pitching guest content. So pitching blogs and podcasts, getting yourself on live Q&A panels, and also as a speaker. And of course, press coverage. This is the Soulful PR podcast after all, but of course, getting press coverage. But I sometimes have people say to me, oh, you just kind of pop up everywhere. So, you know, I read something you'd written the other day, and then I noticed you were going to be on a live Q&A on The Guardian. And then I was looking at the lineup for the New Media Europe conference, and I noticed you were going to be speaking there. And that's almost what you want to do, is that your name just keeps popping up, and you just kind of keep putting your head above water, and people just keep seeing you around. And so, you know, you become really familiar to them. And the last thing I would say is to be humble. So particularly when you're pitching people or you're approaching people about partnerships or wanting to work with them, a lot of the pitches that I get for this podcast and by the way, I really do welcome them. Like, I love getting emails from people suggesting ideas for the podcast. But a lot of the pitches that I get are not pitches. It's just basically someone will email me and say, look, I think I'll be really good for your podcast, and I've just started a business, and it would be really great for me to be on your podcast. And I'm kind of like, well, actually, what I really need you to tell me is, first of all, to give me a really great idea for a show. So a topic that we haven't covered, or a topic that hasn't been covered in a particular way, a new angle on a topic we've already covered, something like that. And I also need you to tell me how you're going to help me. So I want you to tell me how many Twitter followers you've got, or how many followers or likes you've got on your Facebook page, and what your email list size is like. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we're all in business. And so when I pitch myself to other people's podcasts and blogs, that's obviously one of the things that I really try and sell, is that I've got, you know, a decent sized email list, and I can get them in front of a new audience. But I find when people pitch to me, it's often all about me, me, me. And obviously that's a bit of a turn, particularly to somebody who specializes in pitching as well. So I generally don't kind of follow those up. But if somebody, I can tell they've listened to it, they've come up with they've noticed there's a gap, maybe something I haven't covered before, or they've got an idea about how they might cover something in a different way, then great. You know, I'm kind of all ears when it comes to that. I think sometimes as well, and I certainly had this when I was starting this podcast, is that sometimes when you're pitching to people and you know you're punching above your weight, I think sometimes it's just best to say it like that. So when I was starting this podcast, I went to Chris Ducker, who's obviously a very established podcaster and blogger. And I basically said to him, look, Chris, I know that you're really important and really established, and this is just little on me starting this podcast, but I pitched him to go on his podcast, and then I asked him to come on mine. I was like, but I really think I can offer your audience really great value. And I know I haven't got like a massive audience like yours, but I've certainly got, you know, a decent sized audience and quite an engaged one. And I really think I can offer them something. And then when I was asking him to come on mine, I was kind of, you know, just saying to him, look, I know you're really, really busy, but I just would love it if you helped me out on this. I, you know, appreciate you're a really busy guy, but it would just mean so much to me, because I really think that what you've got to say will really be of interest to my audience. And I, you know, I can promote this. I can get you in front of some new people through my email list and through my social media followers. So that's kind of how I did it. Exactly the same with Natalie Sisson, who I interviewed for episode 9. I'd already been interviewed on her podcast. So again, I went to her and said, look, I know I'm just starting this podcast, and I know you probably would normally say no, but, you know, I really, really think that it would be great to have you on. I love your content, and obviously I knew her content quite well, and I can get you in front of some new people that maybe you haven't been in front of before. And I know it's not massive like your list, but, you know, hopefully that will still be valuable to you. And again, she said yes. And I find that just having that kind of humble approach and just being honest can work really, really well. It's a fine line, because I think if you pitch people and you're kind of like, I've had pitches from people and they say, this is, you know, when I've got my editor's hat on, I've never written anything for anybody before. I have no experience whatsoever. And you're like, So you really need to kind of sell the idea and the concept and kind of sell them the outcome as much as you can. And, you know, if you haven't got, I was talking to Rob Lawrence, actually, who's the host of the Inspirational Creatives podcast, which is one of my favorite podcasts, which I'll link to in the show notes. And he's got some absolutely great guests on his podcast. And I was asking him actually how he did it. And he said he just sent them a really honest email saying, look, you know, I'm just really passionate about this podcast where I interview inspirational creatives. And he just kind of really showed that he'd researched them, that he understood their content, if they were a podcaster or a blogger or whatever they happen to do, and just kind of said, look, you know, I'm really passionate about this project. I'd just love you to be part of it. I know my audience would love it. And he said he hasn't had a no yet. He's had 100% hit rate, which is absolutely amazing. And the other thing is I think sometimes I think we need to show people, I said this right at the beginning, that we appreciate them. Now, here's a kind of funny story for you. But when I launched this podcast, the day that it launched, I was actually doing a shift on the Guardian's education section. So I was launching a podcast, but I was doing a shift and I was looking after the education pages. So obviously I couldn't really spend any time on it at all. I did it all at home the evening before. But I knew it was important for me to get reviews and to get as many people listening to it as possible so that I could get some reviews on iTunes. So I bought cakes. So I bought cakes for my desk that I was working on. So that was the education, the health and the society people. And I bought cakes for the commercial people. And basically I said to them, I said, essentially it was kind of bribery, but I said, look, I've launched this podcast. If you've got time, I'd love it if you just had a listen. And if you like it, please, would you leave me a review? Now, I have no idea because whether any of them, I think I can guess some of them did. Some of them emailed me about 3 weeks later and said, I'm really sorry, I still haven't done this, whatever. But I just took Kate's round because I appreciated that if they were going to take 20 minutes or half an hour to have a listen to some of my podcasts, then I needed to show them that I appreciated that time. So it wasn't about being kind of pushy and selly and hustly in the kind of, you know, traditional kind of sense. It was just more about kind of saying, look, again, this is what I'm doing. I'm really excited about it. You know, I think it's really interesting. I'd love it if you could help me out. And here's some cake as well. So I do think being humble is a really good thing to do. So hopefully that may have sparked some ideas for you about how you can hustle, how can you can make sure that you've always got opportunities, that people are always interested in talking to you, and you can make things happen for your business and brand. I appreciate that we're all different. So what works for me may not necessarily work for you. We've all got different personalities, but I really hope that you found some ideas in there, some things that you might be able to try in your business. As ever, I would love your feedback. So you can email me at janet@janetmurray.co.uk or tweet me at @Jan_Murray, Instagram me at @JanMurrayUK, or go to my Facebook page at @JanetMurrayUK and leave me a message there. I'm always really happy to get your messages there. You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, do head over to the show notes at janetmurray.co.uk/episode 38, where you can find links to everything that I've talked about in this episode and also my Facebook group. So that's janetmurray.co.uk/episode 38.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.